Let's turn to the scriptures. Three readings this evening. The first of them is in Hebrews and chapter 11. Great chapter of faith. Men and women of faith. Men and women who trusted God. And the particular individual that we want to pick out this evening is found in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. And it says this. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith." Back to into the book of the Acts. Book of the Acts in chapter 24. Now the Apostle Paul has been arrested. He's been shipped off to Caesarea, which was the place where the governor had his residence and had the centre of his administration. He's already appeared before the governor once, but it's in verse 24 I want to look at this evening. So after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance or self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. And then finally, please, back into the Old Testament, and the book of Jeremiah, and chapter 38. The book of Jeremiah, and chapter 38. And we'll read from verse 14. "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made of this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live." And we want to the Lord to bless too as the reading of his words this evening. The notice that we've read three incidents that really talk about fear and faith. Three men we've read about who were marked by fear. It says it of Noah, it says that Noah was moved by fear. It says of Zedekiah himself says, I am afraid. And Felix, well, he shows his fear, didn't he? I trust that you'll agree with me that he wasn't just cold. He wasn't just shivering. But as he listened to the word of God and he listened to this little man Paul preaching to him, Felix was afraid. And to all three of them, a pathway of faith was opened up. A pathway of escape. A pathway of trusting and of obedience to the Lord. But we'll notice that only one man took it. There's only one man out of the three. All three were marked by fear, only one by faith. We want to learn some lessons from them this evening. Fear is an interesting thing, isn't it? It's a big subject in the Bible. There's lots and lots about fear in the Bible. But you know as well as I do that fear can take many forms, can't it? Fear can be rational. We can be afraid of something and we can have good reason to be so. I have a healthy respect for power tools. Because I know that if I mess around with a chainsaw, if I mess around with a circular saw, I could well lose a finger. And I don't particularly want that to happen. That is a rational fear, isn't it? But there are irrational fears as well. Someone could maybe have a real fear that the sky would fall on their heads. And that's irrational because it's never happened and it's never going to happen. And then you can have, fear can be either paralyzing or motivational. You see, if you're walking down the road and you're suddenly confronted by a mad dog that's barking its head off and baring its teeth and growling at you, I think the natural thing to do would be to be afraid, wouldn't it? But then there's kind of one or two options. Fear could possibly root you to the spot and paralyze you, and you can't do anything as you're faced with this thing that you're afraid of ahead of you. Or it can make you turn and run. And sometimes fear can make you run faster, and it can make you to jump higher and jump further and go to greater lengths than you would have done either anyway. But there is a wide spectrum of fear, isn't there? So there's a wide use, a wide range of uses for the word, from abject terror on the one hand to a healthy respect and an awe on the other. So we want to look at these three men this evening. Sometimes you see the actions that we take will be determined by who or what we fear most. We'll see that when we come to King Zedekiah. But I want to think first of all that this man called Felix. You see, Felix was the Roman governor. Felix was the man who had been born a slave and had been freed. He was a freedman. And he'd been brought up to the position that he was in because of his brother. His brother was an important position in Rome, and his brother had spoken to the emperor, and the emperor had given Felix this job. Now, Felix wasn't really suited for this job. Felix was an unscrupulous individual. He didn't really care about the land that he was in. He was hard-bitten. He was unscrupulous. During Felix's tenure in Judea, the crime rate went up. It was a place where general lawlessness was on the increase. And Felix was this kind of man. At the end of the reading that we had this evening, Felix, he brought Paul before him quite a few times. He was looking for a bride, you see. And he was looking that if Paul had brought him a bride, then he'd have let him go. Actually, there was no reason why Paul should have been arrested in the first place. And there was no reason why Paul should have been kept in custody. And if we'd read on in the passage, we'd have found that when Felix suddenly was recalled to Rome to account for his crimes, he left Paul in custody to do the Jews a favour. And that was the kind of man he was. He wasn't really concerned with truth, and he wasn't concerned with justice. But one day, this man, Felix, had an interview, I suppose you could call it, with this man called Paul. This little preacher called Paul. Felix had heard, before we read a little bit further back, Felix had heard about Christians. Felix had a reasonable idea of what Christians believed, of what they were about. He had a reasonable knowledge of the fact that they preached Christ crucified and risen again from the dead. But Paul had this opportunity to speak to him that day. And Paul spoke to him concerning faith in Christ. And Paul reasoned with him in terms of the message of the gospel. And it was as he reasoned, so verse 25, of righteousness, of self-control, and of judgment to come, the Bible says that Felix trembled. Now, Felix was listening to the message that Paul was bringing to him. Paul was telling him about a God who is absolutely righteous. He was telling him about a God who is absolutely just and absolutely holy. A God who maintains the highest of standards. The God who has made his standards known in his word, the Bible. And the God who can only let perfection into his heaven. And Paul reasoned with him of righteousness. He told him of a God who cannot sweep sin under the carpet. He told him of a God who must judge sin. And as he was speaking to him, I would judge that Felix came to this conclusion. As Felix looked at himself, he says, "You know what? I'm not righteous. I am not righteous. I'm not perfect. There's things about my life that I know are wrong. There's things about my life that just set me in opposition to this righteous and holy God that Paul is speaking about." And Paul spoke about self-control. And Paul spoke about accountability. And Paul spoke about the fact that we're accountable for the actions that we commit. The things that we do. The things that we say. The things that we should do but don't do. And as Felix was listening to that, he thought, you know, he says, "I haven't taken a rein on myself. I haven't taken hold of myself. There's times when I've just gone with what I wanted to do, even though I knew it was wrong. And there's times when I've just said the thing that I wanted to say, even though I knew I shouldn't say it." And so Felix, God expects me, says Paul, God expects us to exercise self-control. And Felix says, "I've not done that. Where does that put me in the sight of God? Where does that put me before God?" But you see, that wasn't it. That wasn't all that Paul spoke about. Because Paul spoke about righteousness. And Paul spoke about self-control. And Paul spoke about judgment to come. And Felix started to think. And he started to think about a day when he would stand before God, personally. The Bible says that every one of us must give an account of himself to God. And as Felix considered his past, and as Felix considered his person, what he was like, who he was, as Felix looked into his own heart, and as Felix thought about what it would be to stand before the great God of heaven, so the Bible, Felix trembled. He was scared. Scared. But you know something? To be scared is not enough. Actually, the wonderful thing about the message of the gospel is we don't need to be scared as we look at the future, because Paul not only spoke about righteousness and self-control and about judgment to come, but he spoke about faith in Christ. And Paul would bring this before Felix and say, "Look, says, yes, God is a righteous and a holy God. And yes, God expects us to match up to his righteousness, and nothing less than righteousness can enter into heaven. And yes, God must judge sin. He says, I want to tell you about someone. I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about the one who was crucified, because he's the answer to all these things. God is righteous, so is he. You know, the Bible says that as God looks down on the whole of humanity, there's not one righteous, not even one. But you know, from the time when the Lord Jesus was here, he looked down and there was one righteous. There was one person who was absolutely perfect and absolutely holy. Nothing wrong with him. Never said anything wrong, never did anything wrong. Always did what he should do. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus, you know. Absolutely righteous. But you know, that's not all he told about him. Because he says, there came a time when this righteous man was taken and was put on a cross. And there came a time when this righteous man was judged. When God made him, as Paul would say elsewhere, to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Says Paul, there came a time when all my unrighteousness was laid upon him. All my guilt, all my shame, all my filthiness, all my unworthiness, all that would keep me out of God's presence, everything that I've ever done, everything I've ever said, everything I've not done, everything I saw, it was all laid upon him. And God judged, that judgment that's coming to me, it was placed upon his son at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus bore it. So that I could be forgiven. You know, Paul could have gone into his past. Paul could have gone into the fact that he was a persecutor of Christians. Paul could have gone into the fact that he'd gone all out to try and stamp out the name of Jesus Christ once and for all. He'd say, God, have mercy on me. Felix, he could have mercy on you. Yeah, as we said in the meeting this evening, he could have mercy on you. Because the Lord Jesus has taken the punishment that is due to our sins. But you know, there's much more than that. It's not just that the Lord Jesus has taken our punishment so that we don't need to be judged. But through the Lord Jesus, we can not just be forgiven, but we can be made righteous. That is, so not only do we not have to worry about the consequences of our sin, not only do we not have to be scared as we contemplate the future, because the Lord Jesus has taken it for us, but we can look forward to heaven. Because the Lord Jesus, in Christ, those who put their trust in him are made righteous. That is, if only those who are righteous affect for God's presence in heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, trust me, and you will be righteous. You will be right, you will be fit for heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an amazing message? You see, Felix, he just got hold of part of it. He got hold of part of it. I'm sure Paul told him lots more than we've got here. Because the whole reason of him coming was to speak about faith in Christ. Felix, you don't have to fear the future. Felix, you don't have to fear the judgment of God. Yes, Felix, it's a good thing if you feel it. It's a good thing if you feel your sinfulness. It's a good thing if you feel that you don't deserve to be saved. It's a good thing if you feel that you have done wrong and you're not right with God and you need to do something about it. It's a good thing to tremble in the presence of God, but don't leave it there. And don't do what Felix did. You know what Felix did? Felix oppressed him. As the Spirit of God was working in Felix's soul, and as Felix was coming under conviction, and as the Spirit of God was showing him his unrighteousness, his lack of self-control, the fact that he faced the judgment of God, Felix says, right, another time. We'll sort this out some other time. As far as we know, he never did. You know, the gospel message is a wonderful message. It's a message that brings life and hope and forgiveness and a big one word, justification. That means being declared just in God's sight, being made right in God's sight, and much, much more. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but it comes through faith in Christ. I want to ask you this evening that if the Spirit of God is working in your soul, if the Spirit of God is showing you your sin and your need of salvation, please don't suppress it. Please don't just try and put it to one side and ignore it. You see, the Spirit of God speaks. And dare we refuse to listen? So much to Felix. What about Zedekiah? If we feel that, to learn that fear is not faith. If we learn that we can be afraid, and we can realize our position before God and yet still never be saved. What do we learn from Zedekiah? Well, Zedekiah was in a pretty scary situation. To give you a little bit of background about Zedekiah, Zedekiah lived in Jerusalem. He was the king of Jerusalem. And basically, that was all his kingdom was by this stage. Because the king of Babylon, the greatest superpower of the day, his forces were surrounding the city. The city was under siege. And really, unless there was a miracle going to happen, it was only a matter of time before Jerusalem was going to fall to the Babylonians. He brought it upon himself. Zedekiah, you see, had sworn, when he came to the throne, he'd sworn an oath of allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he'd sworn that he'd be a good boy, and he'd sworn that he'd be a good king, and he'd bring tribute at the right time, and he'd do what the king of Babylon said, and as long as he did that, the general agreement between the two was that the king of Babylon would leave him alone. But Zedekiah, in his wisdom or otherwise, decided that actually, the king of Egypt, he looks an attractive proposition, and maybe the king of Egypt could be trusted to get rid of the problem of the king of Babylon. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break my oath with the king of Babylon, and I'm going to go after the king of Egypt. Not surprisingly, the king of Babylon wasn't best pleased. And in fact, experience would have told him, and history would tell him, that those that break their treaties with the great superpowers of the day can expect to be dealt with very, very severely. And so for Zedekiah, the situation was a bit dire. And it was scary. And in such circumstances, he comes to Jeremiah, and he comes to the right person, he comes to a prophet of God, a man who has consistently brought the voice of God to the people for 40 years. And he comes and he wants to find out what God says to him. And Jeremiah provides a solution. You know, it's a good thing to come to the Word of God. It's a good thing to come and try and find answers in the Word of God. But you know something? Jeremiah, you get the impression that when Zedekiah came to Jeremiah, Jeremiah wasn't entirely sure that Zedekiah was genuine. Now, he had good reason not to be sure that Zedekiah was genuine, because Zedekiah had asked things in the past, and then had just completely gone back on them. And Zedekiah was not a man to be trusted. But you know, the Bible does contain answers. And the Bible contains the answers. The answers to the greatest questions that we have. The answers particularly to our soul's salvation. And if we genuinely want to know the answers, then the Lord says, "Seek ye me, and you'll live. Seek, and you'll find." Anyway, he comes to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah gives him a solution. And the solution that Jeremiah gives is, give yourself up. And if you give yourself up to the king of Babylon's princes, then everything will be okay. The city will be saved, your house will be saved, and you will be saved. Zedekiah, you have to trust God. It's basically what Jeremiah was saying. You have to trust. And you have to do what God is asking you to do. So See, God had promised them salvation. God had promised them deliverance if he did what he said. And that's the thing, you see. That's the thing about the message of the gospel. That the message of the gospel comes with a promise. And the promise of God is this, that whoever believes in him, that is the Lord Jesus, will never be put to shame, will never be turned away, and will be absolutely sure of eternal salvation. And the simple question that comes is, do I trust God or not? Am I prepared to trust God? Am I prepared to act on what he says or not? Zedekiah's answer is interesting. Because Zedekiah says, I am afraid. Now that's understandable, isn't it? It'd be understandable when faced with what you know about the king of Babylon, what you know about how he treats those who proved false to him and have broken their oaths of allegiance to him, to actually take my life in my hands and to go out of the city and to give myself over to him and to expect him to show me mercy, that's a big thing. But that's not what Zedekiah is afraid of. That isn't what Zedekiah is afraid of. That's not the biggest fear that Zedekiah has as he contemplates these things. What's the biggest thing that Zedekiah has? He says, I'm afraid of the Jews that have already fallen over to the Chaldeans, lest they mock me. Zedekiah says, I'm afraid of getting laughed at. Zedekiah, your life's on the line here. Zedekiah, this is a life or death situation. This is a salvation or certain doom and certain failure, not just for yourself, but for the whole city. Zedekiah, is this really the biggest thing on your mind at the minute that you'll be laughed at? And yet it was. I wonder, as you contemplate, if you're not saved this evening in the meeting, and as you contemplate salvation, as you contemplate the message of the gospel, maybe it is that you understand your position before God. Maybe it is that you understand that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. Maybe it is that you understand that the Lord Jesus died for sinners like you and that he rose again from the dead and he's a wonderful saviour and he's at the right hand of God in heaven and he can save you. But maybe there's just this wee niggle. And it says this, if I get saved, what are people going to say? What are people going to do? Most people laugh at Christians. Lots of people at school laugh at Christians. People on the street outside, they laugh at Christians. They mock Christ. And they've got no time for the things of God. If I become a Christian, they'll laugh at me. If I become a Christian, then I'll open myself up to the ridicule of people that I come into contact with. I want to ask you, is that the biggest thing on your mind? Is that a reason not to get saved? You see, Zedekiah, he stuck it out to the end. And you can read what happened to Zedekiah in the succeeding chapters in the book of Jeremiah. It's not pretty. And it could have been so different. Could have been so different. You see, we can contrast these two men with Noah, that we read of, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 11. And Noah was someone who, when God warned him, he believed him. Noah had never seen rain at this point. Noah had never seen a flood. Noah had never known what it was like for the whole world to be covered in water. But God said, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. I'm going to send the rain. And Noah believed God. You see, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is, do I believe what God says? Do I believe what God tells me? Do I believe the warnings that God is putting before me in his word? And then, believing it, am I prepared to do something about it? See, it says not only that Noah was warned of God, but it says that he was moved with fear. Now you know something, that's interesting. Because this isn't the fear of what was going to happen. This isn't the fear that if I don't do something, I'm into trouble here. This word that's translated fear is the word that means respect or awe. And it was his respect for God that made Noah do what God told him to do. See, though we warn you of what God says in his word, the Bible, I'm not trying to scare you into salvation. I'm not wanting to paint you such a picture that in absolute sheer terror you'll flee. I want to bring before you a God who can be trusted. A God who doesn't lie. A God who tells us things as it is. A God who doesn't paper over things, but a God who just tells us what he's going to do, and he tells us that a God who in his love and in his mercy has provided a way out. Said God to Noah, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to go into that ark, you and your family, and when you go into that ark, you'll be saved. And though the water comes down, and though the floods rise up, you'll be kept safe, Noah, throughout the time of flood. And Noah's faith was such that he says, well, God's told me to build an ark. That's what I'll do. God told me that the world is going to be destroyed by a flood. I don't understand what that means, but I believe what God says. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do. God says that the only way to be safe is to go into that ark once I've built it. And you know, that's what I'm going to do. And as a result, Noah was saved. He condemned the world. You know, if we understand the word of God correctly, it took Noah about 120 years to build the ark. And as Noah was building the ark, I guess there'd be people that asked him what he was doing. And the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And all the time that he was building the ark, I have absolutely no doubt at all that he'd be telling people that God has told us what's coming, and God says, get into the ark and you'll be saved. But you know as well as I do that when the world was destroyed in the flood, there were only 8 people that were kept alive. Only 8 people that went into the ark. Only 8 people that when the judgment of God came down, that the ark kept them safe. God has provided salvation at tremendous cost to himself. God has provided the most wonderful Saviour that you could ever think of. His Son. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises that those who put their trust in him will be saved. God promises that those who trust him don't need to fear. Don't need to fear what tomorrow may bring. Don't need to fear what the future may bring. Don't need to fear beyond the grave itself. For it's all been taken care of in Christ. For those who are in Christ, just as Noah was in the ark, will be kept safe from all danger. And he absolutely guarantees salvation and a home in heaven. No, not only that. Paul spoke to Felix about self-control, didn't he? And you know as well as I do that self-control is really quite difficult. Self-control, particularly of the tongue, is really difficult. James tells us about this in chapter 3 of his letter. He says, the tongue can no man tame. And we know that, don't we? You see, one of the other wonders about the salvation that God gives is that when Christ saves us, he gives us the power to live lives that are pleasing to God. Is that what we want? Do we want to please God? Do we want to live lives that God can look down at and be happy with? It's possible in Christ, you know. It's possible through faith in our Lord Jesus. Three men then, in different ways marked by fear. Fear of different things. Fear of standing before God. Fear of standing before God in unrighteousness, and yet Felix suppressed that fear. A fear of people, a fear of what people might say. And it meant that Zedekiah missed out on the salvation that God had promised him. For a respect to God. A respect to God that means that I believe what God says. I will do what God has asked me to do. If God says trust Christ, then that's precisely what I'll do. May that be each of our cases this evening. For his name's sake, shall we pray. Father, we thank thee for this time we've had together this evening. We think, Father, of the instruction that there is in my word. We think of these three men. And we think, Father, of their different circumstances. And we think of how thou didst speak to them. That in thy grace and thy mercy, thou didst speak to each of them. And we're sad, our Father, that there were those that didn't listen. And we're sad, our Father, that there are so many that aren't prepared to listen to the word of God and to accept the salvation that thou hast provided in the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we do pray that thou wilt just work in each of our hearts this evening. And for any here this evening that don't yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, our Father, we do pray that they might not put it off, but they might be caused to see something of the wonder and the glory of the Lord Jesus and of what he has done, and might be caused to put their faith and trust in him as their Saviour. So, Father, we just ask thy blessing to you upon us now. We commend ourselves to thee. We thank you for the further time we can spend together and for the refreshments that have been provided for us. And we pray thy blessing to be upon us as we just give thee thanks, asking these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.